Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You are baptized. You have been and are nurtured in God's Word. You live upon the foundation of God's kingdom of grace. You belong to the Lord, and the grounding idea of your life is that God sheds forth His grace on you for the sake of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. This is the grounding and the foundation upon which you as a Christian live, waiting for the consummation of the kingdom of glory. Now, why do I start that way? Because in our gospel lesson for today, in order to understand the gospel lesson properly, you have to understand the foundation that lies underneath it. And that is, Jesus had been conducting his ministry in Galilee. And at a certain point, he left there and he withdrew. And he went into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. We would call that Lebanon today. All right? In other words, he left the Holy Land and went into Gentile territory. And then the events of our story take place. Directly after our account today, the Bible tells us that Jesus went right back to Galilee. So, the inescapable conclusion that we must understand is this. Jesus went to Tyre and Sidon specifically for the sake of this woman whom he all along planned to help. All right? He went there to help this woman. Now, if you don't see that, if you don't see that the whole story of the travel notices in the gospel show us this truth. Jesus left the homeland, went onto foreign territory, did one thing, and immediately after he did that one thing, he went right back home again. That shows that he planned all along to be gracious to this woman. Now, the other thing that you have to notice in this text is that this woman is not just a desperate person grasping at straws. She, though she is a Gentile, she has heard the rumors coming out of the land of Israel. She is obviously what is called a God-fearer. That is, she is a Gentile who has come to believe in the religion of the Israelites. And so even though she's a Gentile, she believes in the true God of Israel, and she identifies herself with Israel and with the kingdom of God and the messianic prophecies. Now, when she comes to Jesus, she calls him Lord and Son of David. And that means that she believes that he is the Christ, the Son of God, who is able to help her. And she has heard of his teachings and his miracles, and her faith has focused itself upon Jesus, not just upon God in general, but upon the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is sent by the Father to redeem and help sinners. All right? That's how we know God. We just don't say the man upstairs. We just don't say God without being specific. We Christians, we know of no God who is not the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that God has manifested Himself fully and completely to us in the incarnation, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. This woman knows this, and she comes for help because she believes that Jesus is her Lord, that He is the Son of David, the Messiah, the Christ of Israel. So she has true faith in Christ. All right, now. So you and I, we're kind of like this woman in this way, that we live on this foundation of God's grace. That underneath all of the details of our life, there is this one great truth, the mercy, grace, and love of God in Christ Jesus upon which we stand. Right? That, and the other thing is this, that by the grace of God, we have come to trust in the Word of God, the Christ of God, the promises of God. So we have true and saving faith. Right. But like this woman also, we have troubles. Now this woman's troubles were big. I don't know how it happened, but her daughter became demonized. She became demon-possessed. That is, the devil in some way, shape, or form so took over her life that she could not function without the devil causing her to be thrown into fits and to be oppressed in every kind of manner. And so this was a frightening and extremely troublesome thing. Now, none of us, I hope, are demon-possessed. But we all have troubles, tribulations, problems, and fears in our life. There are disappointments and failures that we wrestle with. There are disappointments in life where we thought it was going to go one way, but it went another way. There are frightening events that take place in our lives. And in these times, we seek the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we undergo severe trials in connection with our prayers. This woman very properly prayed, Lord, Son of David, have mercy. All right? My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, you know, because of your prayers and your experience with God, that it often happens that God, He waits to answer your prayer. That is, you pray in a time of need, and God allows that time of need to continue for a season with no discernible answer. And you are tempted to believe that God is not listening to your prayers. That you're one of those people that God just doesn't listen to. You know, and other people, when they pray, things happen for them. But when I pray, nothing happens. Right? Here this woman, she just says something that's pathetic. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And Jesus ignores her as if she has not spoken. He just acts as though she were invisible and inaudible. And the story is meant that we may understand that there are times in our lives when we feel as if God is doing the same thing to us. We're in trouble, we're in need, and no answer seems to be forthcoming. Do we give up in despair and succumb to temptation? Or do we press on? This woman presses on. Now, in the story here, he answered her not a word. The disciples are embarrassed. Right? They're like, Jesus is walking along down the road, the disciples with him, and this woman screaming and crying and yowling at them, "Please, please, Son of David, help, help, help." They're embarrassed. And they say, "Jesus, help the woman out, because she's crying after us. This is embarrassing." And sometimes our brothers and sisters in the Lord, they feel for us in our troubles. And they also pray that the Lord would help us and deliver us in our troubles. But Jesus at this moment doesn't answer her a word. So finally, Jesus says to the disciples, he doesn't even say it to her. He says, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." To say that in modern English, "I am only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And so now the woman, not only in her trouble does she have Jesus ignoring her and has to deal with the temptation, "Maybe God doesn't listen to my prayers," but also now she has a word in which she is tempted to believe that God is not gracious to everyone, but only to certain few. This, by the way, is the error of Calvinism. You ever heard of, like, you drive down the road and you see a church and it says Dutch Reformed Church, right? Those people are Calvinists. They believe in absolute double predestination. That means that before God created the whole world, he looked at the whole human race and he said, "Hell, hell, 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 heaven, hell, 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 heaven." And then, only then, did he send Jesus to redeem not the whole world, but only those who were chosen to go to heaven. So Jesus isn't the Savior of all men. He's only the Savior of a certain minority among men, the elect, right? And since Jesus didn't die for all the people that were predestined to go to hell, all right? Since Jesus didn't die for them, the gospel promises don't apply to them. In other words, if you were according to Calvinism, right? I'm talking about a false doctrine here, right? According to Calvinism, if you were predestined to go to hell, Jesus didn't die for you, and the promises of the gospel don't apply to you. God hates you and wants you in hell. That's it. So that when Jesus died on the cross, he only died for the elect, those chosen to go to heaven. He only died for them. He didn't die for the whole world. He died only for them. And The gospel promise, when John 3:16 says, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life," that's not talking about the damned. Right? It's only talking about the elect. So therefore, the problem with this hellish doctrine of double predestination, the problem with it is that it takes away certainty. Because you can read the gospel promises until you're blue in the face. But unless you know that you are one of the elect, you don't know if the promises apply to you or not. And so you're always wondering, am I one of the elect or am I not? And there's no objective way to know. You have to have some kind of subjective inner experience of some kind. All right? Now, why am I belaboring this? Because this is a great temptation. The great temptation when you are in trouble and your prayers do not seem to be answered is to believe that maybe I'm not really one of the elect. Maybe I've been predestined to go to hell and God is against me and my prayers are useless because I'm not one of the elect. All right? Now, that's a temptation of the devil, to make you start wondering about your eternal election in such a way that you are unsure of your election and you cannot comfort yourself with the gospel because you don't believe the gospel applies to you. Now, Jesus told the truth here in this passage. He said, "I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And what he meant by that was that as the Jewish Messiah promised to the Jews, he had to conduct his earthly ministry in Judea, in Galilee, for the Jewish people. And when he suffered and died as the Messiah of the Jews, it is only then that the gospel becomes universal. His mission was accomplished among the Jews, but for the sake of the whole world. So when Jesus said, "I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," he says, My mission is to be conducted in the context of the people of Israel. But his mission includes salvation for all people. All right? Remember what God promised in Genesis chapter 3, that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent on account of man. Right? So that promise is for the whole human race. When God came to Abraham and chose Abraham and his descendants, he says, "In thee and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." So in other words, the salvation that God was going to accomplish among the Jews was for the blessing of the whole world. So Jesus was not saying to this woman, "I have no interest in this child of the devil." He was simply saying that the proper arena for his messianic mission was to the Jews. And then when he had accomplished that mission, it would be universalized for the whole world, just like the promises in the Old Testament say. So this woman is tempted to believe that she just happens to belong to the wrong race of people, that she is not one of God's elect, that she has probably been predestined to go to hell, and therefore it serves her right that her daughter is demon-possessed. Right? And that temptation comes to us in our troubles when we are tempted to think, maybe the promises of the Word of God don't apply to me. Maybe the gospel isn't for me. Maybe I'm not one of God's elect. Notice what this woman does. All right? She pushes through it. All right? Jesus ignores her. She pushes through it. Jesus says something that could be taken wrong. She pushes through it. And finally, Jesus says the most cutting thing. She comes and she worships him and falls down before him and says, "Lord, help me." And he says, "It's not proper to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." Now, that's no matter what kind of positive spin you put on it, that does not sound encouraging, right? It's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now, there is one little thing in there that the English translation doesn't really bring out, but it's there in the original Greek, and that is, when Jesus says it, he says, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the little dogs. He's not talking about big, nasty dogs. He's talking about the little dogs, the household pets. All right? So he kind of gives her a little bit of an open crack in the door. You know, just a little open door. And that woman grabs hold of that little crack and pulls the door right open. She says, You're right, Lord. Truth, Lord. You are right. Yet even the puppies, even the little dogs, eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus is delighted with her because she did not fall in her time of trial, but she understood the grace and salvation of Jesus Christ. She grabbed hold of him and would not let him go. It's like Jacob in the book of Genesis. He wrestled with an angel all night long, and the angel says to him, "Let me go. The morning is coming. The sun is about to rise. Let me go." And Jacob says, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the angel blessed him. All right? Here is this woman. Now remember what I said. The foundation is the grace of God. Jesus planned to heal this woman's daughter all along. And this woman had true faith. She was tested and tried in her troubles. But she did not lose heart. She did not lose faith. She clung to the grace of God in Christ, to the promises that she had learned, and she would not let him go. And so every time Jesus acted as if he was not interested in helping her, she pressed right through it, and finally Jesus had to stop and say, "Oh woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you as you have desired." And the woman's daughter was made whole from that very hour. She had Jesus by the foot, and she would not let him go. And Jesus loved it to be so. And that's why Jesus has all of those parables in the Bible. He has all those parables about being tenacious in your prayers, not giving up, but pressing through your trials and your troubles, and continuing to believe that God has grace and help for you, despite the fact that it may appear as if he's ignoring you, despite the fact that you may be tempted to think that you are not one of God's elect, or despite the fact that you may be tempted to think that you are not worthy of God's help. The fact of the matter is, it's all a matter of grace. Christ came into the world to save sinners. He came all the way to Tyre and Sidon for this one woman's sake. and immediately went back home after he was done with her. And that shows us that we all live in this foundation of God's mercy, grace, and love. And that we are, like this woman, to confess Christ, to believe in Him, to seek His help, and not to let go. Not to let go. Not to give up in despair. Not to say, oh, maybe God's not interested in me. No, He loves you. He has sent His Son to redeem you. He is hearing your prayers. But for your good, in a way that you don't understand in this life, for your good, He is testing your faith. And He wants your faith to end up being stronger for having been tested. This woman's faith was strong to begin with, and it was even stronger in the end. All right? So, take heart. In the midst of your troubles, God is for you. Who can be against you? Amen.